Let us join together now in our worship as we sing the hymn 568. 568 on page 405. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. 568. Stand together to worship. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's look to the Lord now for our meeting tonight. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we unite our hearts before Thee in prayer, oh God, we do thank Thee for these wonderful words that we have sung together. We know that there's one who cares for us and is interested in us and looks upon us day by day, moment by moment. Lord, we thank Thee, our Heavenly Father, that we have such a great and glorious God as Thou art. We praise Thee, Heavenly Father, that we are enabled, Lord, to praise Thee this evening and to give thanks and to worship before Thee, because there is one at Thy right hand, our blessed Redeemer, the man Christ Jesus, who came into this world to die for sinners. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for the sufferings of our Saviour. We thank Thee for what He passed through. We praise Thee, O gracious God, Lord, for the crown of thorns that He wore. We thank Thee, O God, that He was put to death, crucified, nailed to that cross for sinners such as we are. Lord, we do rejoice not only in His death and in the finished work of redemption, the shedding of His precious blood. We do rejoice this night that He rose again from the dead and that we serve a risen Savior. Our Lord arose from the grave and He has conquered the great enemy, death. He has overcome. We thank Thee that every child of God, every believer, born again of Thy Holy Spirit, washed in Thy precious blood, we thank Thee that we share in that wonderful victory, and that the victory is ours in Christ Jesus. We know, Lord, that when our Savior comes again, the Scripture reminds us that the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that we have such a glorious and wonderful message to proclaim. We do thank Thee for the good news and for the glad tidings of the gospel. The Lord Jesus came down into this world to save sinners, to deliver them from the hand of the enemy, to deal with their sins, and to give us life eternal and life everlasting. How wonderful, Lord, to think upon these words that we read of so many times in Scripture. Life eternal, life everlasting, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, how wonderful. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for giving to us, Lord, the gospel. We praise Thee, our Father, tonight, Lord, for giving to us Thy precious word, Thy truth, the Holy Scriptures, into our hands, our homes, that we can read and study and meditate upon day by day. Lord, we do ask in prayer, draw our hearts out, Lord, after Thyself. Increase our love, Lord, for Thee. Increase our love and our devotion for the Word and for the great truths of Scripture. We would ask our Heavenly Father tonight as we're bowed before Thee in prayer. O God, we do pray for revival. We pray for an earnest outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God, even around this district and area here in Enniskillen. There are so many homes and many families, dead in trespasses and in sin, but Lord, we bless Thee, what the Lord is able to do. Suddenly the Lord can come and grant a conviction and an interest in the things of the Lord. We pray, our Father, tonight, Lord, that people would see their danger, that there would be an awakening, and Lord, we do pray that this house would be filled with people wanting to hear the word of life and the word of the gospel. Thou art able. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, bless us here tonight, we ask of Thee. May everything, Lord, be done for Thy glory and for Thine honour, that Thy name may be praised and glorified and worshipped here among us. Thank You, Lord, for bringing the McClintock family tonight each one, and we do pray, Lord, that thou will bless them as they minister to us in song. Remember the Reverend Porter as well, his family, keep thy good hand upon him. May he know that unction that comes from heaven, resting upon his ministry. Do bless him as he continues, Lord, to preach the word of the Lord. We would think of him, Lord, tonight and pour it down, and his son Nathan as well, for the ordination service there to the eldership, and we pray that thou wilt be with him, and may he know the good hand of the Lord upon him. Bless the people of the Lord here, this congregation. Encourage each and every one, our Heavenly Father, in all their labors and all that they seek to do, among the young people, outreaches, children's work. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant the blessing. Lord, undertake for us each one tonight, and abide with us and keep thy hand upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, let us turn back again to our hymn books, and we're going to sing another hymn together. 437. 437. The hymn 437. Where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so, and I remember 'twas for me that he was slain on Calvary. 437. Stand together now to sing. Amen. Now let's open our Bibles together, and we're reading a short passage from Matthew's Gospel, and the chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew's Gospel in the chapter 7, and we'll commence our reading together at the verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. We'll end our reading there at the verse 21. And we praise the Lord and thank God for his precious word. And we trust the Lord will bless to us all tonight that reading from his own truth. Well, we're very glad to welcome the McClintock family with us tonight. We bid them each one welcome. And we're glad they could come. And we're delighted to have them. And they've come, of course, to minister to us in song. And just at this moment now, I'm going to ask Grace and Ellie and Katie if they'll come, please, and sing for us. Thank you.
It's 10.
Thank you, ladies, for those lovely pieces that you have sung for us tonight. And isn't it good to hear good sound words and lovely harmony? And we enjoy those pieces very much. And we appreciate you coming tonight to minister to us in song. I'm going to ask our brother Ian if he will come, please, with the announcements for us. Thank you.
Well, on behalf of the ministering session, I'd like to welcome you to our service this evening. If you're visiting with us or join us online, We do indeed extend you a very warm welcome. We are glad to have in the pulpit again this evening Reverend Larry Power. We enjoy this ministry this morning and looking forward to the preaching of the word this evening. Also delighted to welcome the Clintock family with us this evening. We very much enjoyed their ministry and song. It's lovely to see a family using their gifts and talents for the Lord. The announcements for the incoming week are as follows. On Tuesday night at 8 p.m. is our prayer meeting, and the Reverend James Porter will be the preacher. On Friday night at 8 p.m. is youth fellowship, and then next Lord's Day the service at the normal time, 11 a.m. Sabbath school, 11:30 the morning prayer meeting, then morning worship at 12 noon. The evening service at 7 p.m. preceded by a half hour prayer, and the preacher next Lord's Day will be the Reverend Porter. Next Sunday night is a special friends and family service, and Mr. Kyle Boyd, who is cerebral palsy, will be testifying of God's saving and sustaining grace in his life. Please also pray for and plan to attend the farewell service for Cruscaddens on the 8th of June in Dungannon Free Presbyterian Church, and the church barbecue on the 9th of June at Castle Archdale. It's listed in the vestibule. If you're not on it yet, put your name on the list, please. And then Children's Day on the 18th of June at 12 noon and 3:30 p.m. The speaker will be the Reverend Graham Middleton. If you felt or for the Sunday school, please keep in mind also on Saturday, the 24th of June, is the Sunday school outing, and further details will be available shortly. All these announcements are subject to the will of God.
Thank you, Ian, for bringing to us those announcements tonight. Now we're going to stand together, change a position as we sing 612. 612, there's coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears that dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. 612, and we'll stand together as we sing. Together. Amen. I'm going to ask Sister Grace. I think the two girls are coming this time. If one is coming, I'm not sure if it's Ellie or Katie, but I'll ask them to come again and sing for us, please. Thank you very much, ladies, on my own behalf and behalf of the congregation here, for those lovely pieces that you have sung for us tonight. That was very much appreciated. Let's bow in a word of prayer as we turn for a few moments now to the Word tonight. O God, we do praise Thee, Father, and thank Thee, as we've heard tonight in song, that Jesus is the answer, the living Christ who rose victoriously from the dead and is alive and alive forevermore, and praise the Lord, is able for to meet our every need. We thank Thee, Lord, that we come to one who is all-sufficient. We ask our Heavenly Father, that, Lord, You be pleased to bless Thy truth. Bless Thy word to our hearts, O God, tonight, each and every one. Pray any out of Christ, draw them, save them, bless them tonight. Meet our need, Lord. We all have different needs, and we thank Thee Thou art all sufficient. In Jesus' name, amen. Good to see everyone tonight, and thank you for your kindness and for your support and encouragement. We want to turn just for a few moments tonight here in this passage of Scripture, here in Matthew's Gospel, and two familiar verses that I'm sure we've heard many sermons on over the years. Here in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now we know that the Word of God always encourages each and every child of God for to keep our eye upon the goal, what lies ahead, and the blessing and the reward for each and every Christian at the end. And the Lord has given us these words here, and many other words as well, for to encourage us here on our pilgrim pathway, as it were, through this world. Now there is set before us here, of course, in these two verses, there is that broad way that, sad to say, so many are on tonight. It's the way of the world. It's the way of sin. It's the way of pleasure, as it were. But what an awful end. What an awful end. It's the way of destruction. And it's the way of judgment at the end. But then the Lord would have us, His people, to help us and to encourage us to keep our eye always to remain, as it were, in that narrow way. Because that's the way of holiness. It's the way of godliness. And whatever our tribulations or difficulties, that's the way that leads on to life. Oh, let us keep that in mind continually. There is life. Praise God, we have life now. But every Christian is going on to life eternal and life everlasting. Now, this passage of scripture here only sets two options before us, that broad way and that narrow way. We have here, of course, the good tree and the bad tree. We have the solid foundation and we have the unstable foundation. And we know what happens if any man attempts for to build upon an unstable foundation. Sooner or later it's going to collapse. It will fall asunder and come to nothing. There is also a warning given to us here in the verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many may use that title, and they may profess many things. They may say, Lord, Lord. But at the end, it's just false. And there's nothing to it. And it comes to an awful end. So the end of the broad road here is eternal damnation. It leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. We want to think for a few moments tonight here, first of all, about this narrow way that we have set before us here in the verse 14. It's the narrow way, but it's the way that leads to heaven and to glory. And we've heard about that tonight here from our brethren as they sung for us. The way to heaven and the way to glory. And thank God tonight there is a heaven. There is that eternal happiness that awaits every Christian and every child of God. I wonder tonight, are you on the narrow way? Are you looking forward to heaven, that place of many mansions? Looking forward to seeing your Saviour and your Lord, and to be with Him for all eternity? Straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, but few there be that find it. So we're thinking about this narrow way first and foremost tonight. Now, isn't it true that there are multitudes of people tonight, and they think very little, they think nothing at all of this narrow way that leads to life. They prefer the broad road and all the pleasures and all the enjoyments, so-called, that go with it. And if they think at all of this narrow way, this way of salvation, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will, as it were, look down with scorn and pity upon the Christian. Multitudes of people believe tonight, don't they, that when somebody becomes a Christian, and when they give their lives to the Lord, they lose everything. They lose everything. They become miserable. They have nothing at all to look forward to in this life or in this world. And they would say, well, look at me. Look at me. Look at all the things that I'm enjoying here in this life. I have a wonderful life. Look at all the parties that I have. Look at the drink. Look at the drugs, the immorality, the gambling and everything else. I'm on the broad road. And because I'm on the broad road, there's no limits. But you people that are on the narrow road, how miserable life must be for each and every one of you. Yes, there's many people that would say that tonight. And not only that, but by all means, and of course the devil, as the Word of God tells us, how crafty is the devil. And he's always seeking to lure God's people away, back into a backslidden condition, as it were. Or get them back into the world where they were before. And he beckons, as it were. He beckons the Christian to consider for a moment what you have left behind. Look at your friends. See how you have lost out. Will you not go back and enjoy all of that again? And of course, that's the craftiness of the enemy. But it does us all good, doesn't it, at times, just for to stop and to look and see the state. Just see the state of the world. And see the state of our society. Look at the chaos in the midst of it all. And look at all the unhappiness that there is. In the lives of individuals and in their homes. Look at all that's taken place. All the crimes and all the fear and everything else. Yes, that's the broad way. They seem to be enjoying things. Oh, but there's something going on deeper within. Just there recently I read some accounts of what many would refer to as very famous people on the broad road. They never professed to be Christians or anything else. But I thought it was interesting for to read, we might call them their experiences or their testimonies, what they really thought about life. And there were so many of them. We meet people, don't we? And we think they're having a great time. And we think they're really living it up and enjoying life to the full. But oh, we have no idea really what's going on in their minds. What's really going on deep down within and how they're thinking. I read a short account there, just as I say, recently of Freddie Mercury. And of course he was considered to be one of the great pop stars of a bygone age. Highly rated among the pop stars and the singers. A very famous man in his day. And he died in 1991 of an AIDS-related disease. But one of his One of his last songs, a line out of one of his last songs, just gives you an insight into how the man was thinking. And this was one of the lines in his song. He says, "Does anybody know what we are living for?" That's what he said. Man, no time for the gospel, as far as we know. No time for the things of God. But you see how he expressed himself. Yes, he had all the wealth and everything else. He had the fame. He had the great houses. He had the lifestyle. He was living it up. But he says, can anyone tell us what we're really living for in this life and in this world? On the broad way, you say. So I say there's far more going on in the minds and hearts of people than we realize. John Lennon, of course, as well, he was one of the famous Beatle men back in the day, that band, the Beatles. And of course, they made a statement at one time, didn't they? They said that they were going to be more famous than the Lord Jesus Christ. But John Lennon, after they had made a fortune, and after they were applauded everywhere they went, their names, their pictures and names were on the newspapers. They were famous. They lacked for nothing. But John Lennon made this statement. He said, looking back, he says, "So where were we?" he said. "Rich and famous, but nothing at all going on in our minds." That's what he said. Nothing, he says, whatever going on in our minds. Minds are empty. And whatever was in it was just full of the world. The broad way. So you see, young person tonight, and indeed each and every one of us, as we look out at the world and see all that's going on, the so-called enjoyments, the gathering of wealth and fame and the famous names, how do we know what's really going on? The unhappiness and the uncertainties and everything else. Fearing to live and fearing to die. That broad road that leads to destruction. Another testimony came from Boris Becker. You remember he was a Wimbledon champion at the age of 17, great famous tennis player. And after winning at Wimbledon and making a fortune, he had the big houses. Yes, again, he had the wealth and the cars and the immorality and the loose living and everything else. But you know what he says? He says, "I have no inner peace. I have no inner peace." He says, "I'm just like a puppet on a string, being led everywhere, everywhere and anywhere," he said. But he says, "I have nothing to live for." Let me give you the testimony of another famous man. We've all heard of this man, of course, Augustine, one of the early church leaders. And as a young man, of course, he lived a sinful life, an immoral life. No time for God, out living for the world and for the things of the world. And here's what he had to say in his testimony. He went on, of course, to be a great man of God and wrote some famous works and preached the gospel and lived for the Lord. But he says, "I looked for pleasure, for beauty," he says, "and for truth. Not in God, but in myself. And the search led me instead to pain, confusion, and error." That's what it led to. Confusion, error, unhappiness, emptiness. Men and women tonight, that's the broad road that leads to destruction. Yes, many scoff at it and scoff at the people of God that are disciples and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, it's amazing, isn't it, when you dig deep into the mind and into the heart, what's going on? What awful fears are there? What awful uncertainties are in so many lives tonight? That narrow way that leads to glory and that leads to life everlasting. In fact, it was Augustine, and we attribute these famous words to him, and how true they are. He says, "We are restless," he says, "until we find our rest in thee." We're restless until we find our rest in thee. I wonder tonight, is there somebody in the meeting, or perhaps looking on or listening on online, is this your condition tonight? Are you restless? Are you restless? Fearful? Yes, you may be wealthy. You may have a magnificent house. You may have everything that goes with it. You may be popular and everything else. But are you on the broad road that leads to destruction? Is your thinking, is your mind tonight, as it were, turned upside down, full of confusion? That's what, at the end of it all. The things of this life, you see, the things of this world, when men and women make a god out of them, they cannot satisfy. They cannot satisfy. Brings happiness, unhappiness. But you see, the Christian gains everything. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ here makes it very clear that he is on that narrow way. He's on that narrow way which leads on to life. It's not an easy way always. It's a narrow way. We can all identify with that even in the physical. If you're closed in some place, if you're bound, if you're shut in some corner or some very, very narrow channel, it's not easy. It's uncomfortable. You have to go forward, but you struggle. And so this narrow way, praise God, it's not all sunshine. But the Christian, dear friend, tonight gains everything at the end. We gain everything. And in fact, praise the Lord, we can say we have everything here and now. Turn just for a moment in the Word of God to that scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in the verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in the verse 12. And the apostle here is encouraging the people of God. He says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we suffer, we're going to reign with him. What a day that will be. When the Lord comes again, what a change will take place. We're going to reign with him. And it's a reign forever and forever. Forever and forever. Death, praise God, is not the end for the Christian or for the child of God. Multitudes of people believe that tonight. Those that believe in evolution and all that, the atheists. Death is the end. Death is the end. But look at the words there of the apostle. There as he wrote to the Hebrews, in his letter to the Hebrews, in the chapter 11 and in the verse 24. Speaking here about Moses. He says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, the pleasures of sin, the broad way, only for a season. Whether it be 70 or we live up to 80 or 90 or 100, it's still a very short season. It's only a blink. It's nothing comparison to eternity. And the economy of God, the time of God, it's nothing, men and women. It's only for a season. That's all it is. But choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming their approach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for which he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And Moses had his eye upon the eternal goal, upon the things of God. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, the Egyptians, or the Israelites rather, the nobodies, the slaves, those that were treated like worse than animals. But he says, I'm throwing my lot in with these people. I'm going to go with them, I'm going to stand up for them, and I'm going to suffer them. I'm going to suffer with them. And there is no doubt, of course, that Moses, was he not in line for the throne to take over, to be the great king, to have everything he wanted, a wonderful life and everything else? But he just swept it all one side. He said, I'd rather suffer affliction with the people of God. The people of God. You see, the Christian, dear friends, tonight, we gain everything. We gain everything. What good are all of these things when we come to die? All the greed, all the material things of this world? Will they gain us favour with God? No, nothing. What do we possess here and now? Well, thank God, here and now we can experience and know the forgiveness of sins. You remember the words of Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah chapter 38 and the verse 17. He says, "Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." The forgiveness of sins. Can I ask you tonight, are your sins forgiven? Do you know that you're forgiven? Your sins have been washed away and cleansed. The Lord takes the sins of his people. He, as it were, casts them behind his back. We cast things behind our back that we're finished with. We don't want to see it again. We want to lose it. You won't look back for it. It's cast behind your back. And that's how the Word of God describes the forgiveness of sins. The Lord will not go back. He'll not pick them up. He will not bring them before our faces again and remind us of them and hold us accountable. No, praise God, when we're justified by the grace of God. And we're saved and the account is settled. And the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, cleanses from all sin. The Christian gains everything. Let the world laugh and scoff as it may. And then, of course, we have a wonderful description of the peace of God as well, given to us by the Apostle Paul. The peace of God that passes all understanding. All understanding. It is said of Charles, the Charles the 15th of France, back in the day, that he forbid the word death to be mentioned in his company. Nobody was ever to mention the word death. Not his staff or his colleagues around him. Don't mention death. And isn't there so many people in that state tonight? Death. We don't want to think about it. We don't want to face it. But it's going to come to each and every one of us. It's going to come to every individual. And praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ has overcome death. He's overcome death. He has conquered death. The last enemy has been conquered. The great enemy of man, that fearful enemy, that dreadful enemy, has been overcome. The peace of God. Then, of course, we have something else as well. As we're on this, in this narrow way that leads to glory, we have, praise God, there's a joy. Peter speaks about it in 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse 8. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Is it ours tonight? Do we have it? The peace of God, the joy of the Lord. Somebody in a prayer meeting was praying for that, and rightly so, how we all need it, a good baptism of it. The joy of the Lord and the peace of God. It all defies human description, doesn't it? That's why the atheists, those that are following the evolution and all that sort of thing, that's why they dismiss the whole thing as nonsense. But praise God, this is spiritual. It's in the spiritual realm. And the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, the verse 18, he says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." The glory that's going to be revealed in us. What good is the broad way then? That way of sin? The so-called pleasures of this life and of this world, what good are they? When death comes, when we have to stand in the presence of the Almighty God. Scripture reminds us there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And we read there, don't we, these solemn words, and with this we close in Revelation chapter 6 and the verse 15. these solemn words concerning the second coming of our Saviour. What's going to happen? We read there that they will cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them, to hide them from the face of him that cometh. There will be a cry. Something, the unexpected, has taken place, has happened. The rocks and the mountains. And they cry that they might fall upon them, to hide them. Fear has overtaken them. Surprise has come. The thing they thought that never would happen has come to pass. And now they're crying out, cover us with the rocks and the mountains. Hide us from the face of him that comes. We're not ready. As we close our meeting tonight, on which road are you travelling? Is it that narrow road that brings joy, delight, happiness, leads to glory and life? Or is it that broad road that leads to destruction? No peace in it, no happiness, nothing to look forward to. The worldling's pleasures, just for a season, and they're gone. They blow away like a leaf, like the dust. Let's bow in a word of prayer as we close our meeting now tonight. Let me encourage you to look to the Lord. Ask him to save you. Ask him to bless you and take away your sins, to make you one of his disciples. Praise God, he will. He will. The Lord is able to save you tonight. Look to him. Look to him and trust him. Bow before him. And yield to him your heart, your life, your all. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this meeting tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the happiness. Thank you for the peace that belongs to every disciple, every believer in Christ. And Lord, do help us to rejoice more and more. To joy in the Lord. God, help us do so. For Lord, in doing so, we will glorify thee. Part us with your blessing tonight, each one. Keep your hand upon us all throughout this week. And undertake for us in all our ways, in Jesus' name. Amen.